Father, as we turn to thy word this morning, we pray that thy hand may be upon us mightily for good, and that this might be a day of reviving and refreshing and blessing from thy presence. Hear this, our prayer, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. If you have your New Testament with you, I'd like you to open it with me at the second verse of the 28th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew's Gospel at the chapter 28 and at the verse 2. The Lord has laid upon my heart very strongly this verse, and that I feel that I should this morning bring you a message upon it. Our time is limited this morning, but there are some thoughts that the Lord has put upon my heart, and I feel that I should leave them with you. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. I want to speak about this stone. This is a very unique stone. For I do not recollect anywhere else in the Word of God where an angel sat anywhere upon this earth. But here, an angel from heaven sat upon the stone that was rolled away. The first thing I want to draw your attention to about this stone, this stone is a symbol of the great fact of Christ's resurrection with which it is connected. For the resurrection of Christ is likened to the laying of a stone. If you turn over with me to the great preaching of Peter in the Pentecostal times, and you turn to chapter 4 of Acts, Peter goes back to an Old Testament scripture in verse 11, and he says, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner." Acts 4 and verse 11. This is the stone. And this stone, rolled away from the tomb's doorway, is a symbol of a far greater stone. The great stone, the great rock, which is Jesus Christ himself. And upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the whole Christian church is built. If Christ is not risen, our faith is vain. We are yet in our sins, but up from the grave he arose. And this morning, as we view that stone, it is a symbol of the glorious fact with which it is connected. The second thing I want to point out to you is this, that this is indeed a tombstone. It is a tombstone. But it's not the tombstone of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he has come out of the tomb. He is alive forevermore. He has got the keys of hell and of death. But this is the tombstone of man's absolute failure to hinder the purpose of God. You know, you could nearly smile at that 65th verse, couldn't you, of Matthew 27? It says there, "Ye have a watch," old Pilate said to them. "Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. Do your best to keep Jesus in the tomb." And so they set a watch. A big 6-foot Roman sentinel with his steel helmet and his breastplate and his coat of mail and his long spear in his hand. And then not only did they do that, but they sealed the tomb. They put a great seal on one side of the stone, and then they brought over the connecting link and put a seal on the rock face, as if that seal would tie that stone in and tie in God's eternal Son. But my friend, that stone is a tombstone. And it's the tombstone which marks the failure of man to hinder the purpose of God. Nothing can hinder God's eternal purpose. And nothing can keep the Lord Jesus Christ in that tomb. I would, of course, point out to you that that stone was not rolled away to let the Lord Jesus Christ out. That stone was rolled away to let you in to see that he was already out. The angel of the Lord didn't release Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus rose in his own power from the tomb. And that word concerning his clothing symbolizes that Jesus rose through those clothes, and the clothes were lying just as they had enshrouded him. The napkin folded in its own place where his head was, and the rest of the clothes folded as they were around the body of Jesus. But Jesus rose through the shroud, through the face of the rock, and right out into his Father's presence by the power of the Holy Ghost. And the stone was rolled away to let you in, to see that Jesus was already gone. So that's a tombstone. It's not only a symbol of the great fact that it symbolizes. Praise God, it's a tombstone. And you know, over all the purposes of man this morning, and over all the cunning devices of the old devil this morning, and over all the plans and subtle devisings of the enemies of the gospel, we're going to build a tombstone to their failure. They're going to fail. But Jesus will not fail. The Word of God will not fail. The Christ of God will not fail. But all the devices of man will fail. Something else. That was erected, that stone was put there by the Jewish religious leaders to be the tombstone of a dead Christ. But instead of being the tombstone of a dead Christ, it became the tombstone of death itself. Death is swallowed up in victory. And you can write across that stone and engrave upon that stone that Jesus Christ, by dying, destroyed death itself. You know, this morning, as we open the earth and lower the coffin of our loved ones down into Mother Earth, and if the Lord tarries, we too must pass this way. But praise God, the people of God are not under the spirit of fear. We are not today worried about death. Why? because Jesus slew death by his resurrection. You know, the body of a believer, as I have often said from this platform, is never buried. You can't bury the body of a believer. You sow the body of a believer. It is sown in dishonor. Praise God, it'll be raised in honor. It is sown in corruption. Praise God, it'll be raised in incorruption. When a man goes out to sow a field, he's looking for a harvest. And praise God, what a great harvest it'll be when all the bodies of our loved ones rise again to walk in the power of God. Yes, well, may we shout this morning, for this stone is the tombstone. The tombstone of death itself. And then let me say something else about this stone. This stone, my friend, is the great death warrant, praise God, of the old devil. This, my friend, is the death warrant of the devil himself. You turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 2, the second chapter of the book of the Hebrews. You will find that it says here in verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." And praise God, as I look upon that stone today, it's the great eternal document that the devil is finished in the purpose of God for all eternity. And there's a day when the devil, after the 1,000 years, shall be cast into the lake of fire, and the saints of God shall join in a mighty hallelujah, as the old adversary that tempted us, that plagued us, that tormented us, praise God, is punished eternally in the lake of fire. What a day that will be. Of course, if you do business with the devil, you'll be able to rejoice that that day most certainly is coming. This is not only a symbol of the great fact with which it is connected. This is not only the tombstone of man's failure to thwart the purposes of God. It is not only the tombstone of death, but praise God, it's a great stone document declaring that the power of the devil is broken forever and forever. Then I want you to notice something else about this stone. This stone is a monument. It is a monument, first of all, that the promise of the Word of God cannot fail. The promise of the Word of God cannot fail. Don't you notice that little parenthesis in verse 6? Isn't it lovely? He is not here, he is risen, as he said, as he said. You can write those words in gold, friend. As the Lord said, when he started off his ministry, he said, "I'll give you a sign that I am the Christ of God." They said, "What sign will you give us?" He says, "I'll destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will make it again." And praise God, in 3 days he arose triumphantly from the tomb. Away in the Old Testament, my friend, there was the promise that Jesus should rise again, that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head, that he would lead captivity captive, that he would give gifts unto man. Do you remember the psalm that said, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and your doors, that the King of glory shall come in"? Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong in battle He is the King of glory. And friend, all down through the Old Testament, there was a promise that Jesus would rise again. And when Jesus was upon this earth, he continually referred to his resurrection. Do you remember he said concerning Jonah? He said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the fish's belly, so the Son of God will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And you remember he said he would give us flesh to be the bread of this world. And if man ate his flesh and drank his blood, they would have eternal life within their souls. And all that Jesus said, friend, is symbolized in that stone that's rolled away. And praise God, my friend, that stone that's rolled away is the great monument today that the promise of the Word of God cannot fail. If God has given you a promise from his book, my friend, let me tell you, it cannot fail. The Word of God stands forever, standing on the promises that cannot fail. Though the storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living Word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Let me tell you something else. That stone is not only a monument that the purposes that the promise of the Word of God cannot fail, but it's a monument to the fact that the person of the Christ of God cannot fail. Jesus cannot fail. My friend, the whole person of Christ was staked on the claim that he would rise again from the dead. And if he didn't rise from the dead, then he would be proved to have been an imposter and not the Messiah. And what a time that was when his body lay in the tomb. Heaven looked on, and hell looked on, and the earth looked on, and the sorrowing disciples looked on. But on the third day, praise his name, he rose, triumphant over all his foes. And all the claims that he made were gloriously and wonderfully and praise God eternally vindicated. You ask me how I know he lives. Praise God, he lives within my heart today. Yes, the person of the Christ of God cannot fail. That stone, friend, is a monument to that fact. And it's a monument to something else. It's a monument to the fact that the purpose of the grace of God cannot fail. You know, my friend, God's purpose and grace was that you and I should share his great resurrection. And if you turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 and have a look at Ephesians chapter 2, you will discover that this is the great purpose that the Lord had for his people. Ephesians chapter 2. It says in verse 20 of chapter 1, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And then it goes on, and it says, hath raised us up, verse 6, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And praise God this morning, that stone is a monument to the fact that the purpose of the grace of God cannot fail. You know, that old stone reminds me of the great stone of my sin, doesn't it? I had a stone around my neck, and it was going to weigh me down into the billows of eternal hell fire forever. But praise God, the stone has rolled away this morning. You remember the day when it was rolled away? Hallelujah. And we sang. We used to sing in Mr. Nicholson's meetings, rolled away, rolled away, rolled away, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go, praise God. Neath the cleansing flow, rolled away, rolled away, rolled away, and the burden of my heart rolled away. My, that was a happy day, wasn't it? And I want to tell you that that rolled away stone is today the monument that the purpose of the grace of God cannot fail. And let me go farther. Let me tell you, friend, that what God purposed for you was not only that your burden should be lifted and your sins should be forgiven, but He purposed for you that one day He would bring you to the Father's house. And through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And praise God, the grace that started me on the way, and the grace that has kept me on the way, that same grace will take me into the Father's house and present me without a spot before the glory of His presence with exceeding joy. My, this stone is rolled away this morning. I want to say it's a monument that the purpose of the grace of God cannot fail. I want you to look at that stone again. It's not only the symbol of the fact with which it is connected. It is not only the tombstone of man's failure to thwart God's purpose and of death itself, but it's the great document that seals eternally the doom of the devil. And it's not only that, but praise God, it is the monument that the promise of the Word of God cannot fail, that the person of the Christ of God cannot fail, and that the purpose of the grace of God cannot fail. But this stone is a throne. And upon this throne, there sits an angel this morning. I want you to notice it. It's the angel's throne. Never anywhere else in the Word of God do you read about the angel sitting. The angels came to this earth what to do? To bring messages. That's what they came to do. Do you remember when Christ was born, the angel appeared to the shepherds and then a great multitude of the heavenly host, but they didn't sit down. Why? Because this old earth is cursed with sin. And angels are holy beings, sinless creatures made by the hand of God, and they've never been stained with sin. But praise God, as far as sin is concerned in this old world, the sin question is settled, hallelujah. And even angels can sit down and contemplate the empty tomb and the finished work of Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, you want to go through the Bible and read how many people sit down as the result of the finished work of Christ. Jesus Christ sat down, didn't he? When he had finished the work that God gave him to do, Paul in the Hebrews says, he sat down! That's what you do, mother, when the housework's all done at the end of the day. And the work's complete, you sit down. Praise God, Jesus sat down. The work was finished. And then this angel sat down. Why? Because the work is finished. And the angel could sit upon that stone and make that stone his throne. And he sat down looking into the empty tomb and contemplating the fact that Jesus was living. And then I'll tell you something more, friend. Jesus said one day, we shall sit down with Him in the kingdom of God. And there's a day when we're going to take our seats. What a day that'll be. The day when the sorrows and the sins and the hardships and the headaches and the heartaches are eternally past. And when we're reunited with all our loved ones who have gone a little while before. And we stand in the robing room of the Father's house of many mansions, and we put on the wedding garments, and we're going to go in and sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. My, what a day that'll be. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? Aren't you glad you're on the way to heaven? Aren't you glad this morning that you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? My, I'm glad this old stone is a throne, and there's an angel sitting on it. And as he sits upon that throne, it speaks of the finished work. Yes, but it's not only a stone, but praise God, it's a pulpit. This angel has a message. He's preaching from this stone. You know what he's preaching? He's preaching the message that there's nothing to fear anymore. Yes, no fear. Look at it. The woman came. Look at the difference between the woman and the keepers. The keepers did shake. And they were like dead men. My, the fear was a man. And the message from that pulpit, stone pulpit, my friend, was a message of doom to the enemies of Christ. But to these timid women, it was the message of fear not. Your fears are all ended. Thank God we have nothing to fear today. No wonder the old psalmist said, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. For I know ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. My friend, the man that's seeking Jesus, which was crucified, his fears are forever gone. Blessed seeker of the crucified Jesus. And then said, he is not here. Another verse says, why seek ye the living among the dead? That's a good verse. I'm going to preach in that sometime. I'd like to preach in that in an apostate pulpit. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek Christ in these old dead Presbyterian churches? Why seek Christ in these old dead devil's incubators? Oh, I want to tell you this morning, friend, he's not here. Not in this tomb. Death couldn't hold him. He's the Lord of life. The devil couldn't hold him. He's the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. For he is risen. My, let that word grip your soul today. He is risen. That's proof positive that the debt had been paid. My friend, let me tell you, if one sin of yours had not been fully atoned for, Jesus would never have risen from the dead. If there had been one bit of guilt not washed away in the blood, he could not have arisen, but he discharged the full debt of his people's sins at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. He's not here. He's risen as he said, come. See the place where the Lord lay. Wonderful, isn't it? It became a pulpit from which the message of the resurrection. But you know, friend, that stone is not only a symbol of the fact with which it is connected. It is not only the tombstone of the failure of man to thwart the purposes of God and the tombstone of death. It's not only that. It's the great document that seals finally the doom of the devil. It's not only that, but it's the monument of the promise of the Word of God that cannot fail, and the person of the Christ of God that cannot fail, and the purpose of the grace of God that cannot fail. It's the angel's throne. It's the pulpit that echoes the message that fear is finished, for Christ is living. But my friend, that stone symbolizes the stumbling block, the stumbling stone over which sinners stumble into hell. You turn over with me to 1 Peter, please. And with this, we must finish our message this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2. And it says in verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same as me at the head of the corner. But look at this. A stone of stumbling and a rockable fence even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient. Let me tell you, friend, that stone that means so much to the people of God becomes a stumbling stone over which men stumble into hell. I wonder how many people in this meeting this morning are on the Lord's side. You really know them. The stone, the burden has been rolled away. But is there someone amongst us this morning, some poor sinner, and you've met this Easter morning and Jesus is not living within your heart? You don't know him. You don't love him. Praise his wonderful name. You can meet him this morning. You can meet him here. Would you put out your hand and put your hand into his nail-pierced hand? Would you lift up your eyes and look upon his blessed face? And would you say, Lord Jesus, I'll take you as my Savior and my Lord. Let's bow our heads. Just as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to give an opportunity this morning. If there's someone in the meeting and God has touched your heart this morning, you've listened to the Word of God for a long time, but today you'd like to come and take Jesus as your Savior. Well, look, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if there's a man or woman, a boy or girl, anywhere in this meeting and you'd love to take Christ as your Savior, I wonder right now, would you lift your hand? Just as a token, you're going to take him this morning. Yes, just do it now. Anywhere in the meeting. Just let me see your hand. Just put it right above your head and say, yes, preacher, I'm going to come to Christ today. And we'll talk to you and show you from the Word of God how you really can be saved. Will you do it now?